This is Lena Life. I'm Lena Mirmont, and this is another addition to my special cycle of a program which is devoted to Westchester County, New York. And I told previously that this is extremely unique, richly in culture, politics, traditions, place in the United States, which is noted with outstanding and prominent people. I have true privilege to talk today to Mayor Mandel, who happened to be a very gifted, vibrant, and dynamic-natured individual who has a very rare political integrity and vision for a very special and also unique place in Westchester County, which is called Larchmont. Personally, I would say that once you are there, you want to come back for many, many times. And at this time, I'd like to invite the mayor of Larchmont, Mayor Joshua Mandel. Welcome, and with my true apology for late beginning, I hope we still will be able to have rich in ideas and concepts program with your help, with your kind and very open disposition. My first question is, what is your fresh and first feeling being as a mayor of such a beautiful place as Larchmont?
Well, thank you, Lena, first off, for hosting the show and for having me on. It's good to see people that are so interested in current events of today, and particularly those that impact the local communities, because they don't, I believe, get enough news coverage. I became interested in community endeavors when I moved to Larchmont. Before this time, I really had not been very involved in local communities. I had lived in a number of communities throughout Westchester because I had grown up in the Deep South and my wife had grown up in Israel, and we were interested in figuring out the lay of the land in Westchester. And it wasn't until we found and settled in Larchmont that we realized that it was such a wonderful community and I wanted to be more involved. I have lived in a lot of different places because my father was in the Navy when I was young. So we moved around a lot, a year or two here and a year or two there. By the time I was in ninth grade, I had been in seven different schools. And so I have had the opportunity to see a large number of communities throughout the eastern United States. And for me, Larchmont is really just a very, very special place. And so once we set eyes on this place, we knew that we wanted to live here. It took a couple of years till we could afford to buy the house of our dreams here. And then once we got in, we wanted to really become involved in the community and do everything we could to make it a better community. So that was the genesis of my interest, and my first involvement was literally walking up to the firehouse one day and volunteering as a volunteer firefighter. And that began my involvement in community service.
Well, you just picked up on certain points which I had genuine interest to acquaint myself. And we will have this, I would say, maybe a little intricate discussion where your personal life, your social life, and your political accomplishment and vision will be intertwined with each other. So you just mentioned the fact that by ninth grade, you already been in seven different schools. I made maybe slightly presumptuous conclusion that from that very moment, you already been with a vision and foundation of the future politician, because you had to adapt, you had to have somewhat open mind, you had to have your comfort level to accept new environment. And here you are, a few years later, having all these challenges and accomplishments right in front of yourself. So how you feel your childhood, and that's quite an experience and diversification of the experiences, led and helped you to become a politician?
Well, I think that I have had such a diverse experience that it allows me to understand and empathize with a wide range of views. Having grown up in the Deep South, I experienced a lot of things in the late 60s and early 70s that were shocking to me as a child. And I really feel like those early experiences helped me develop an understanding of human beings as human beings, and how we have to really understand that all human beings are to be treated equally. For instance, during the time that I was very young, in the late 60s and early 70s, they were still undergoing changes in the Deep South. And as many people know, the white schools had been desegregated down there. And there was a lot of, obviously, controversy and a lot of bad things that happened. But what failed to take place immediately was to have the schools that were predominantly black be integrated with white people. In fact, the places like Mississippi, they tried to pass laws that would redistrict certain areas so that those populations would have to go and be bused to the black schools. And there was a large fight because a lot of people didn't want to do that. Parents probably were racist, to be honest with you, and fought it. And they kept striking down these laws. So eventually, they decided that they were going to take undeveloped tracts of land that were under plans to develop and designate those as the areas of land that were going to be bused to schools. My dad and mom were living in very, very inexpensive housing, which was actually a trailer park for married Navy servicemen, and they eventually were able to afford to buy one of these houses in this new neighborhood, and we were the first house in that neighborhood. So I became the first child to be bused to this all-black school, and I went to the school that year, and I was the only white kid that first year. The second year, there were four others that showed up. So it was a really broadening experience for me, and I have to say I still recall very clearly, even though it was only second and third grade, just how well I was treated. I think that those folks had watched just how badly that the black children were treated at the white schools, and they wanted to send a message that that's not the way that we would have done things, and they sent that message very strongly to me, and I just try to pay it forward every day.
I think you just confirmed the thought how important personal experience, which you articulated with honesty and objectivity, and combine this with politics. I would take a little privilege and say that your modest statement regarding your self-evaluation, where you're saying that your leadership short in some political experience or some political length of time, and that you are emphasizing in listening to advice from previous mayors, I frankly believe that indeed because of your diversified experience with people and uniquely analytical abilities, you were more than prepared. In fact, you're probably, in one sense, the best suit for political career because you have this invisible harmony, being an individual with a lot to offer, and have this political openness.
That's very kind of you, Lena.
Well, thank you. You inspired that thought. Speaking about Larchmont, which indeed extremely precious place, I would say that in a sense it's it has its modest name as a village. It's very intricately placed inside of Mamaroneck, or some people say Mamaroneck. So I would say that it is somewhat a deceptive name because one feels not only to be in a beautiful city, but I personally feel it has some element of a big country because, indeed, of diversification of cultural roots. It can afford to have a strong emphasis in French culture, and it also has this quite unusual variety of very colorful small corners. I like to ask you, before we will go into your political agenda, and I believe there are in principle three, one of the major 3 points which I'd like to discuss with you in a minute, but what do you feel the most challenging and the most important to cultivate in the village of Larchmont?
You know, I came to the board with an attitude that this village is already one of the premier locations and probably the best place that I've ever lived in my life, which says a lot because I've lived in a lot of places. So I didn't come to the board with a big agenda of a lot of things that I'd like to change about the Village of Larchmont. My attitude is that if we can just preserve, as it has been preserved for many years, those things which make our community so charming, then we have done our job. That's not an easy task in today's environment, though. We have a lot of constraints on us because of the recession and some of the laws that are being proposed by Albany and have already been passed by Albany. We're going to be under tremendous budget constraints going forward. And one of the challenges, you've probably read about it, is the likelihood that New York State will pass a 2% property tax cap. Now, I do not find that that's an offensive thought on the face of it. Of course, we should all, and I'm a taxpayer, of course, we should all endeavor to have the lowest tax rates possible. The problem is that the components that drive those taxes are largely fixed and non-variable. For instance, the pension contributions and health care contributions, which have been going up dramatically. This year we experienced a 30% spike in pension contributions and an 18% spike in health care contributions. Those are beyond our control. We don't have the ability to negotiate that. The pension contribution bills are passed to us directly from Albany, and we have no choice but to pay them. So if those are going up at 18 to 30%, then it's very difficult to imagine the village maintaining a 2% property tax cap going forward. So what we have to have is a situation where those large, significant drivers are contained. And I believe that that's going to change a fundamental shift, probably out of Albany, so that new employees, as they're hired, can be introduced to a 401k type of defined contribution rather than defined benefit plan. And if you can do the math under those sorts of structures, you will find that it may be perfectly reasonable to apply a 2% property tax cap in ad infinitum to a village like ours. And that's what I'm looking to do, is to try to find a situation that is both financially and environmentally sustainable so that this village can be preserved for decades to come.
Well, there is a philosophical but also practical connection between pre-existing problems. Yeah. We usually call it pre-existing conditions in a medical sense, but we can call pre-existing problems. And I use often some wisdom of Albert Einstein, who happened to be a musician, and that's why it's close to my mind and to my heart. And he once said that we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. But I think in our society it's a bit more complicated, because the solution which we thought took place 8-10 years ago, because of complexity and extremely fast developing technical world, we see that this is not a solution. It's indeed creating a problem. And you just pointed out how challenging that is, just a preserve what was already established for a number of years through history, tradition, and politics in Larchmont. Yeah. I like to bring another point, which happened to be my strong interest for many, many years. It's an education. And I'm talking about an education in a very broad sense. It's a relationship in between the families. It's a social issues, and it does relate to political issues, I think, now more than ever before. My thought relates to the fact that now with this high unemployment, even with the children who come from quite well-to-do families, there is a problem to find an employment. So they're moving back. And there are some issues of recreation of new family ties, understanding, some psychological comfort, and some other challenges. So I believe that this is, like many things in life, negative and positive. This has happened to be very positive, because since children cannot go far away because it's so expensive, and they have to think ahead to find the jobs after the college, perhaps the logical and practical thinking is to go to the college which is in the same village or in the same town and bring back the skill and devotion which adults and their parents paid for. So it will make parents feel much better because of the taxes, which you just mentioned, but it also will strengthen and preserve the traditions and capital of the given village.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you if you do have this part of the agenda or that thinking where system of schools will have this well-defined agenda to keep the best, to keep young people for the for enlargement with its future.
Yeah, I do agree with that line of thinking. I don't have an agenda because it, to forward it, to be honest with you, because it is not within my responsibility. The superintendent of schools is responsible for generating all policy related to schools. However, I think about Larchmont and the residents that are in Larchmont today, that will be here tomorrow and 20 years from today. So, yes, I would like to create an environment that is conducive for them. Now, what does that mean? That means that if they like the village that they're growing up in now at the age of 8, 10, 12, and 15, they are more likely to want to try to find their way back here when they try out other places and they have their children. If I had grown up in the village of Larchmont, first off, I would consider myself very lucky. I would have probably still ended up working in Manhattan and living in Manhattan for a few years, which is what I did. Our first child was born while we were living in Greenwich Village, and I would have yearned to come back to Larchmont, and I would have made my way back here, because I would have loved the experience of growing up here. So the best thing that I can do as the mayor is to try to give them such wonderful experiences that when they have children themselves, they want nothing more than to bring their kids back in and give them the same experience when they're young. Obviously, education is a very significant component, because if the education system is not robust enough, then those kids are not going to be able to earn enough, to be frank, to come back to Larchmont. It is one of the more expensive places to live in the country, and if you wanted to find the cheapest place to live in the country, I can guarantee you it's not going to be this area at all, much less Larchmont. So you have to give them a good fundamental background of education so that they have a shot of being affluent enough to live here, but I also believe in education for education's sake, so that if they decide to go into a business that doesn't generate enormous amounts of profit, I want them to have had a great education so that whatever they do, they go into it with the best set of options ahead of them.
This is so true, especially as a challenging economically location as Larchmont. And I had another set of thoughts. Sometimes if money is not available, we might change the approach or concept. And I just happen to know that there are some fantastically resourceful opportunities for young people in Larchmont through some foundations, and one of them is Her Honor Foundation, which I'm sure everyone heard about, but I like to mention this because it is such a wonderful thing for young people. It is established by Nicole Scheidlin. She is a daughter of famous Judge Judy, needless to say, famous father as well. And this foundation is so prosperous and so helpful to young women graduates, and that's one of the ample example how indeed young powerful brains can bring so much more potential to the future of Larchmont. The other on a smaller scale, but I happened to visit this little boutique. It's ex-actress and model Kristen Darnell, who has her own shop. I believe it's also in one of the lovely section of Larchmont, who also decided to stay in Larchmont. And in fact, I believe that her taste, her experience as an artist can also be a magnet for young minds with the creativity. So there are some tremendous opportunities there in Larchmont, and what you just said certainly it belongs to the system of education, but with your support and with your vision, which I feel you have, that can be extremely successful overcoming some financial difficulties.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we have to give them the best platform possible so that they can succeed in life, whatever their endeavors are. And you can see that I'm not going to take credit for that. Larchmont has seemed to have that history throughout years. Many places you grow up, and I grew up in small towns throughout the country, you see that the kids yearn to get out of that town. It's the classic John Cougar Mellencamp story, where you're just dying to get out of that town and go on to someplace else, you know, bright lights, big city. But Larchmont doesn't seem to be that way. As a matter of fact, I am just constantly amazed at the number of lifelong residents I meet, second, third, fourth generation residents I meet. The mayor prior to me had grown up here, and her father had been the mayor when she was just a child. And that's the kind of story you don't hear a lot in a lot of other small towns throughout the country. So obviously this village has managed, and I can intend to continue that, to have a draw that brings people back year after year, generation after generation.
You just mentioned the previous mayor. Again, it was a very logical bridge to my return to your political figure and your political statement. You've been running unopposed for a position of being the mayor, and the previous mayor of Larchmont was a Republican person who... name is Ms. Feld, and she certainly gave you very kind and very strong recommendation. It was somewhat a little casual. I don't exactly remember the wording, but I was impressed that it was very sincere, but very substantial. And frankly, it relates to your modesty, because even though you certainly have already generate some energy and a promise, and you had very enthusiastic supporters, including your your ex-neighbors, who I believe been a little bit on the regretted side when you left Mamaroneck becoming a mayor. But saying this, you been somewhat in a very interesting position. As I said, it was an unopposed process. Would you feel that because you could concentrate fully in your vision, in your planning, and certainly in your program for Larchmont, that it was a much more focused campaign rather than if you would face an opponent and try to divide your energy to convince the opposite and concentrate on your own?
The truth is that I am somewhat ambivalent about the way that things worked out. It is a fact that because there was no opponent, I was able to really spend a couple of months just thinking about how I want to start as I took over. And I was able to hit the ground running, probably a little bit more than if I had to spend a lot of time campaigning. However, I would have enjoyed the opportunity to face an opponent, because I think that I missed, this is just a personal thing, I missed the jazzed up feeling that I get from being in a debate over issues that I care greatly about. Larchmont tends to be a place where people really look for someone to just lead and steward this community for another 2, 4, or 6 years. And I guess I have to assume that the residents felt that they had found that person in me. And if there was anyone who was thinking about running for mayor, had decided that they would just wait until that wasn't the case anymore. Mayor Feld, for instance, as you said, is a Republican, and I'm a pretty clear, staunch Democrat. But those sorts of policies, party politics, don't really reach down to the local level of government very often. We are not making decisions that are very partisan, to be honest with you. The question of whether we should do buy a new fire truck or pave a road is very rarely defined on public Republican versus Democratic Party lines. So she, I assume, saw in me someone who cared greatly about this village and had the willingness and ability to step up to the plate. And if sometime in the future I was ready to step down, I would be looking for the same. And I would really want to find the person, not the politician.
Well, I will give you my very modest promise that you probably will run into enough opposition in your mayoral career So maybe it's just as well that your energy was somewhat preserved for present moment. But it is, I would say, creative answer you gave, but very practical one. I wanted to congratulate you in your incredible accomplishment, being a volunteer for Fire Life. When I was reading about that, I frankly felt that that was your probably the most incredibly intimate attachment to life after your family. And my question is that, have you been in certain situations where indeed your role or your team role was very crucial in saving human life?
I cannot claim that. I have been in a number of working fires, but thankfully, in all those working fires, there was no immediate risk to life. I suppose that there was a property damage saved, and extension of the fire was kept to a minimum during those fires. But in the 4 years that I've been in the fire service, I haven't actually had the opportunity to be in a situation where there was imminent risk to life. And that's a fortunate thing. I mean, one of the things that the village of Larchmont benefits from, and this is very specific to the village, is that we are only 1 square mile in size, and our fire department is absolutely centrally located. If you put a pin in the middle of the map, that's where our fire department exists. So we really can be at almost any house within a minute or 2 minutes maximum, and that is very unusual compared to any other fire department. Some places you can get to the house across the street in a minute, but if you want to go to the farthest edges of the jurisdiction, it can be 5, 10, or even 15 minutes. Well, the difference between being at a house where an alarm has gone off in 1 or 2 minutes and being there in 10 or 15 minutes makes all the difference between whether you have to actually save somebody's life or not. So knock on wood, I will say that the structure of the village of Larchmont and the services we provide make it less likely, thankfully, that firefighters like myself will actually have to rescue a life that's in danger at the moment. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, but it hasn't happened to me, and I hope that it doesn't in the future.
But you certainly had this barometer of experience, emotions, and certainly knew what does it take on the part of fire people to save somebody else's life. I felt that this is a tremendous layer of your experience, which you can incorporate in many other political human experiences in the future. I am very well aware that our time is coming close to the end, and I wanted to ask you a couple of more questions. One is political, and perhaps another one a bit of a personal. Political question is, when you been running on contested election, and I believe that one of your goals were to improve the storefront on Palmer Avenue. I particularly wanted to ask you if you already have some kind of ideas or a certain practical plan for that.
Yes. We received a grant in the amount of $680,000 from two sources, New York State Department of Transportation and the federal government. And that has been recently increased to somewhere in the neighborhood of $850,000. So that grant is designed to improve areas that are near transportation hubs. Palmer Avenue being so close to the Larchmont train station, which is obviously a significant transportation hub that connects you to Metro North and Amtrak, that became a candidate. So we received the monies through that grant application, and we are working now to do the streetscape. The streetscape involves completely redoing the sidewalks, putting up pedestrian lighting. And the idea is this. We're trying to go back to the day where you can get out of your house, walk down the street to the local coffee shop, and then continue walking to your train station so you don't have to get into a car, you know, burn fossil fuels over there, and then park your car in a parking lot, which also costs money. So if to the extent that we can spend a little bit of money up front to make our community more walkable and more usable without the use of cars, then it's going to save a lot of money in the long run, save the economy, and it's going to make it a more enjoyable experience for every resident of the village of Larchmont. The total project cost is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 to $2 million, so the balance will have to be made up mostly of bonding. This is the kind of infrastructure repairs that that a village has to do. Nobody else is going to do it for us. If we need to make our village more livable, more walkable, then that's something that we need to do for the long term. And that's our plan. We've been very fortunate to have a lot of the stores, the vacancies, fill up on Palmer Avenue since I took office. In the first year in office, I believe I counted that we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 new businesses open up in Larchmont, and that has significantly filled the vacancies that we've experienced. We're still going to experience some vacancies, but we're going to do our best to make this a community that invites people to come here and open new businesses and invites residents to come and shop in them and then just take a stroll to the train station.
And this is a fantastic incentive to come work and live in your community. I certainly aware of some other very major plans which you have, like a flood mitigation issue and the situation with the union, which involved payroll and personal expenses. We certainly, hopefully, will continue this discussion. However, I'd like to finish this extraordinarily interesting and meaningful conversation which I have with Mayor Joshua Mandel of Larchmont, which is one of very special and distinguished community in Westchester County, New York State. And I wanted to bring him to the area of his family. He did mention about his father. And certainly I understood that you met your wife when you've been working in the world of Wall Street.
Yes.
And then I understand you have three children. So my question is, what do you feel is the most important single quality parent needs to have to be a parent?
You know, I'm very clear about this. I didn't expect you were going to ask this question, but I'll tell you. I sound strange to be quoting Jackie Onassis, but she said at one point in time that it didn't matter what she did with her entire life. If she did every single thing professionally and socially correct, if at the end of her life her kids didn't love her and they weren't happy, then she had failed. Because once you have children, that becomes the preeminent job in your life, is to send them off in this world happy, well-adjusted people. So from my point of view, when I became a parent, it really changed everything about my life. I started to see everything through that prism. And it really doesn't matter to me how much money I make, how many friends I have, and what success I have in business. If my kids aren't happy and they don't love me, then I have essentially failed. And that has a lot to do with why I got interested in community service, because I'm trying to create an environment that they'll enjoy growing up in and that they can be nurtured and loved in, not just by me and the family, as it will always be the case, but by the entire community. So I think being a parent actually subsumes everything else that you've done in life. It becomes the most important thing for you going forward, and that's really the way that I feel.
No wonder that your political sensitivity and refinement is so valuable for such a special place as Larchmont, because you just described what kind of human mission one should have, because I personally do not feel any higher mission than to be a parent. Right. I want to deeply to thank Mayor Joshua Mandel, who found his time and energy to speak with us. I wanted to thank you personally for sharing with us your vision and this incredible, precious place as a Larchmont with its potential and its future. I hope that perhaps we will continue this discussion, because indeed my strongest interest is community life, and size of the village or town is not important. It's what people's life meaning there. On this note, I will say goodbye to the mayor, and I will have my post-usual thoughts regarding the program.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you for having me, and thanks for hosting the show.
Thank you. I'm finishing by saying that I had another very special time with an individual who has his political accomplishment even being very young. Mayor Joshua Mandel is only 42 years old, but he sounds so well-established in his personal qualities, but also as a politician. We need more people like him, and I'm proud to say that Westchester County is a very promising place which can offer a number of individuals which will resemble Mayor Mandel. On this note, I will say goodbye to all of you. Thank you for joining me for this extra edition of Lena Live. I'm Lena Mirmont, and indeed tomorrow I will be back with another edition of Lena Live. Until then, have a pleasant time with your friends.